Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studio. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Today's episode is a special Halloween episode, which features an interview with Kevin Donovan, the founder and director of terror at Everhaunt Haunted House, and Mo Hoskin, an actor at the attraction. According to the National Retail Federation's annual survey, conducted by Prosper Insights and Analytics, consumer spending on Halloween-related items is expected to reach an all-time high of $10.14 billion, up from $8 billion in 2020. An estimated 65% of Americans intend to celebrate Halloween or participate in Halloween activities this year, which is up from 58% in 2020. Many of these Americans will go to a haunted house attraction like Everhaunt Haunted House. In some of my research for the episode, I saw that Everhaunt is referred to as a haunt with heart. And after speaking to Kevin and Mo, I couldn't agree more. Operating a haunted house is truly a labor of love, and the time, dedication to detail, and work that Kevin puts into Everhaunt is remarkable. It is also important to note that charitable partnerships and community connection has been a part of Everhaunt Haunted House since its start in 2019. It was great to talk to Kevin about his love of the horror genre, and I hope you enjoy the conversation with Kevin and Mo as much as I did. So I am here today with Kevin Donovan, the sort of founder and creator of Everhaunt. Thank you so much for chatting with me today, Kevin.
Oh, Dan, thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So I'm interested to know, has Halloween always been something that you've loved?
It has been a piece of me for a long time. I remember some of my first memories as a kid was 3 years old, 4 years old, in my mom's room, sneaking, watching Tales from the Crypt or The Nightmare on Elm Streets, and my hand on the little box. So that way, when the door opened, I would push it up so it would go to the station above it. So she would know that I was watching Tales from the Crypt. But yeah, it's always been something. And she's a little bit to blame. My parents are. They were also, folks who loved, Halloween and stuff like that, and they embraced it. And I think my first haunted house, I was 6 years old in my basement with sheets. So it was something that, has seemed to always be there with me. So, yeah.
That's amazing. I sort of came from a similar background, except my father wanted to watch Tales from the Crypt with me when I was about six. I would be horrified, or I would remember sneaking downstairs and watching that sort of amazing opening of the miniature, kind of the camera going through that miniature house. Yeah. And then knowing the Crypt Keeper was going to pop out and still being sort of terrified of that. So it's such a particular memory for people of a certain generation.
Yeah, that time frame, yeah.
I sometimes joke too that if I ever like I would really, I know that he's not real, he's a puppet, but I would love to meet the Crypt Keeper. He's such a celebrity in my mind, like occupies space.
You could meet him. His name is John Kassir. Mm-hmm. And actually he's at all kinds of Comic Cons and expos and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's in the movie Reefer Madness too. He's sort of one of the characters in that. So
exactly. But yeah, we love the horror genre, and you'll see this in a little bit if we talk about it. We have these horror icon days where we bring in these horror celebrities. Maybe we'll get him in sometime. We'll try.
Yeah, we will talk about that a little bit later. But I'm so interested to know, how did you get involved in the aggretainment business?
It was in terms of the haunt. I started a Halloween party 10 years ago at my house. And it just grew and grew. And then I did this little haunt in my garage that had professional props. And then we always had the charity component to it. That first one we did for a friend fighting cancer. Next year was books for Roswell. Next year was, so it's always a big part of it. It got bigger and bigger. The last year we did it, there was like 350 people there coming from 7 different states, and finally my wife said, we got to do something. This is enough. And at that point, we had amassed 15 semi-trucks filled with Halloween stuff that we traveled the entire country to get. We traveled about 170,000 miles to get that stuff. So honestly, I didn't necessarily always plan to get into this business, but it just kind of happened organically and it grew. And next thing we know, there's a lot of semis with the haunted house stuff. And next thing we know, we got a building and the rest is history.
How and when did EverHaunt begin?
Our first year was 2019. However, we did before that for several years work for a major amusement park and were contracted to do Halloween events for these, the amusement parks. So we've done it for a while. The people that I surrounded myself with have done it for a while. And then I actually traveled the country and learned from some of the biggest and best haunts in the entire country. The owners of those haunted houses have become friends. As I told you originally, when I was driving around getting all these unique items that no one's ever seen around here in Buffalo, they let me stay there on operating nights. They let me stay there and learn how to do it. So we actually opened in 2019, could have opened up earlier than that, but I always say you only have one chance to do it right. So we waited and it was, probably 6 years worth of planning to get it to the point where felt that we could do it right. And Buffalo has great haunted houses. Like they really do. Like when I'm talking, Fright World is amazing. At the time, House of Horrors and Haunted Catacombs was amazing. I mean, these are the reason why we probably really ended up doing it is because of going to these every year and loving them so much. But we always knew that if we were going to do it in order to complement those other haunted houses, we had to do it right.
Well, can you give a brief description of the EverHaunt attraction? If someone has never been there before, what can they expect to see?
Sure. I always call it a unique Halloween experience because, yes, we're a haunted house and we've won some awards and things like that, but we never wanted to be a haunted house only. We are a Halloween experience. You have the haunted houses, you have coffin rides, you have virtual reality simulators, you have midway games, you have escape rooms. We have an earthquake simulator. We have family fall festivals, Western New York family fall festivals on Saturdays, horror icon days. For us, it was creating a unique experience around Halloween, not just being, oh, hey, look, another haunted house popped up. You know what I mean? So it was always about being more than that, and having something for everyone in terms of Halloween.
Can I ask, because it seems like with the sort of horror icon days that you've mentioned and some of the other attractions, that I think that my experience of haunts or haunted houses has been like you go through, it might be an hour long experience and then it's over. It seems like this is a little bit longer or a little bit more diversified. Is that correct?
I would say diversified. The walkthrough haunts take probably 25 to 30 minutes, depending on your terror level, I guess you could say. If you're scared and you go slow or you run through it. But then after that, then you go and play the midway games. Those are included in the ticket price. And we have some really unique games that we made. We have a balloon and body pop where they're throwing darts to pop a balloon on a spinning wheel with a guy on it. Kind of like, I think the idea of that came from American Horror Story, one of the episodes many, many years ago in one of those seasons. But then we have a raccoon ring toss where we have all these raccoons in a back alley and you're throwing rings and they're going up and down and they're blowing water at you. And, so that one's called Ring a Raccoon Ring Toss. And then we have a ski ball that's Scully ball, but they're painted like skulls and you're throwing them down a black light ski ball machine. And it's called Back Alley Games. And then after that, you go to a screen booth where you get to take a photo and it gets emailed to you. So that way you have a memory of the experience. And then there's add-ons. You can do the escape room. You can do the VR simulator. You can do earthquake. There's just a lot to do. So I wouldn't say necessarily really longer, but it's just different. Our haunt was not created to be a conga line haunt where you put through thousands of people a night. We could never, we're not set up for that. I'm not knocking those haunts. Those are, I love them. You know what I mean? Like I love all haunts, but for us, we don't combine groups. We make sure that you go through with your groups. You never catch the people in front of you or behind you. We have it timed out pretty well. So for us, again, it's in many ways, I keep going back to that experience, but we try to limit the ways that might go sideways.
Okay, great. So I'm wondering, how have you grown and expanded over the years?
When we first started out, we had bought our building and we didn't realize that we would have to do a ton of work on the building. I think we moved in April. We started building the haunt in, I think, July. And had 3 months to do it. There's only two of us. So it's a lot. So the first year we were proud of what we created, but we knew it wasn't what we could do. You know what I mean? We knew we could do more. So that first year, I think we had our virtual reality ride, we had our screen booth. But since then, we've added our escape game, which is Escape from Holland Road. We've added Earthquake. We've added the chambers and the asylum. We've also taken time to redo all the areas that we knew we could do better. You know what I mean? Ceilings that are just covered with lath now have videos above them. So you're looking up and seeing people coming down on you and stuff like that. So there's a lot of CGI things that we were able to add in, you know, and also truthfully, when we started the haunt, the main piece of it that my wife told me that we had to keep was the charity piece to it. So we have, like, we deal with kids escaping drugs. We deal with, we've dealt with Roswell. This year it's Kids Escaping Drugs, Sweet Buffalo. Yesterday we were on Channel 4 because we gave a little girl fighting cancer a Halloween night to remember. It was incredible. Like, if you get a chance to watch the video, take a look at it. It was so cool. But getting back to where I was going with this is that when I hired our team, I didn't hire people who had experience. I hired people who had good hearts. You know what I mean? Just so that way they would fit in the mission. So I would say also on top of the haunt growing, our people have grown together as a group. And really, we've come a long way in terms of, like, Mo was one of the only people that we actually hired that had experience. And she worked with these people and helped them. And now our team is a well-oiled machine, a scaring machine that is really, really strong. So, you know, so that's another way that we've grown over the years. We've grown our kids' days. We've grown our celebrity days. I'm rambling now, so you got to stop me.
No, I think it's great. And, you know, it actually made me really realize I come from the theater. I'm a theater professor, among many other jobs. And what it made me think of, and I think that this, and I hadn't thought of this before, would be staffing a haunt would be so important because you can't hire someone crazy, right? Like, because it would be a liability. You would need really upstanding people to scare other people to have that work, right? Like, sometimes the sort of kindest people in the theater are the people that play the villains, because they have to be, because then that's the only way that people feel safe around them.
In my opinion, I think that we're all a little crazy.
Yeah.
I really, really do. The fact that we have an old roller rink with 15 semi-trailers with the haunted house stuff, and we just get, you know, paid to scare people every single night. I think we're all a little crazy. However, yes, the team is so important. You know, for us, it was putting the right people. I really do feel in many ways that we're the land of long lost toys. You know what I mean? And we've really gelled together as a group. And I mean, I love those people. You know what I mean? So, but yes, look, we could put together a beautiful haunted house with the most details and the biggest animations and the most expensive whatever. But the bottom line is it's the people that pull it, you know, the people that make it happen. And the actors are the ones that actually are the most commented on any reviews. We have probably 100 animations throughout our building, and we maybe have 25 actors a night. We get so many more comments on those great actors than that stupid little pop-up thing that goes like this, you know what I mean? So yeah, the actors are extremely important. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you mentioned inviting celebrities into the fun this fall, and that's something that is kind of part of the attraction. How did that happen?
So we had to take a year off for COVID. We didn't open in 2020, didn't feel comfortable for various reasons. It would have been just really, really tough. So in 2021, we really wanted to bring in some big names to try to give some excitement around it. We did bring in some names in 2019, but they weren't to the level of where we were at in 2021. We brought in like the first Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. We brought in Alex Vincent, Andy Barclay from Child's Play, and he's on the Chucky series right now on USA. He actually was part of the night for the little girl last night. So it's great that we have these relationships because we call on them. We also had John Duggan from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original grandpa. So for us, but it's not only that, like the actors love it. The actors love meeting these guys. And side note, we do research on our celebs before we bring them in because we want to make sure that they're going to present what we do really, really well. And the people that we've brought in so far have been awesome. This year we have Paul Taylor Thomas. He is one of the pinheads from Hellraiser. He was on Friday Night Lights and a whole bunch of other ones. He's coming in Thursday this week. Then we have Michael Alcott, who is in a couple of the Rob Zombie films, 31 and Devil's Rejects. He was the chicken guy. If you've ever seen that movie, hysterical. I don't want to go on too much about it. But and then we have Seth Gilliam from The Walking Dead coming in Sunday the 30th and Halloween night. And he's actually still on the show, Father Gabriel. He was also in Teen Wolf and a whole bunch of other ones. So we're collectively trying to, but it's interesting, and I'm not going to ramble too much longer, but you have to create the relationships in the celebrity world. A lot of people, until they're a little weary of a little haunted house in Angola. Well, am I going to have enough people there? Am I going to, you know, haunts are scary. It's not a con. It's like a New York Comic Con. So for us, we had a great last year. Those three were great. They've given us good recommendations to other people. They all want to come back. I still talk to them. Actually, every couple of days, I'll talk to John from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He's become a friend. He's just a really great guy. Same thing with Alex Vincent. Well, we needed him to help with that girl fighting cancer. I called him. He's like, dude, I'm in. What do I need to do? So it's really about creating the relationships.
So how much does a ticket cost? And ultimately, do ticket sales cover the basic operating costs of the haunt?
Our tickets start at $25. We made the conscious decision this year, to keep our prices the same as last year. We know that inflation is record high right now, or it was. It's starting to come down a little bit. And people are looking for affordable quality entertainment. I truly believe that this year that people are going to select one haunted house in Buffalo, and they're going to go to it. And that's going to be their family outing, just because people are, you know, it's tough right now. So we made that decision to leave our ticket prices the same as 2021. We also lowered a couple of our add-on prices. So far, it's been good. So far, we're doing okay. Now, will it cover operating costs? It should. Knock on wood. I think people who have come and seen us already are coming back. I think we have seen some new faces, which is cool. And the ticket pricing system, I think, is working right now in terms of making it affordable.
Well, I also ask this, right, because in sort of the world I come from, the theater, I'll say that like ticket sales maybe cover sometimes anywhere from 30 to 50% of the operating costs of any regional theater. And then the rest is sort of filled with individual donations and grants. And I can't imagine, right, because you're a for-profit business, sort of like there's no grant for a haunted house. There's there's not some sort of generous person who's going to leave their estate to a haunt as they do to the theater. So that's why I asked the question. I think it's amazing that you have to cover all of your operating costs yourself.
We have a couple sponsors that give us a little bit, but all of that money usually gets spent right back in their business. 99.99999% of our operating revenue comes from our ticket sales.
I think that's amazing. In addition to ticket sales, you've also had to diversify your offerings. I'm sure that there are t-shirts available, there's food available, there's some of the add-ons you talked about. Would you mind speaking on those for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure. We actually, you asked that question earlier about what have you developed. I remember when we opened up the first year, we had some sodas, some water, and some t-shirts. Now we have a full-fledged horror shop. You know, we have like 50 offerings in our store, 55 offerings, even to the point of having fanny packs, Everhaunt fanny packs, water bottles and cell phone chargers. And then we also added the horror stuff in there too. So we have, you know, Jason backpacks and horror socks and Pennywise figures and whatever. Our store has grown a lot. I think it's going to do really, really well this year. Last year was okay. I mean, you know, when you're learning what sells and what doesn't sell, you take a lot of chances. And my background actually is in retail, and I've overseen retail stores for my whole life. So this is actually my little fun project. I love doing the store. But anyway, so yeah, we do sell some stuff from there. I think it's going to do it. Actually, the first 3 days it's done awesome this year. So that's good. We do sell just prepackaged food, nothing warm, but we do have some food trucks that come out on our busy nights. And also on our Kids Day events, we have that. The add-ons, I would say that the add-ons don't make us too much. They do pay for themselves. At the end of it, the bulk of our sales are going to come from those general admission or fast pass tickets. The add-ons will do a little bit. You know, we'll sell 10 escape games a night because we're only open a certain amount of hours. So you can only put so many escape games in a night. Virtual reality ride's a 5-minute ride. So, you know, you can only put so many people through that a night. However, in order for us to create that experience, it's okay that those don't do.
Yeah, I think it really seems like, you know, and it's easy to think sometimes when we see kind of these sort of haunted attractions that they're these sort of humongous things, because sometimes we think that they're sort of connected to larger kind of organizations or institutions. But what you're saying is, and I think this is true, and one of the reasons why I love to talk to people on this podcast is that you really learn that all small businesses really are a labor of love, right?
Yes, you hit it right on the head. If I didn't love haunted houses, I'm in a lot of groups online, Haunters Hangout, whatever. And I caution people about doing this because you don't want to take your passion and turn it into a job. You know what I mean? So for me, you know, we're not at that point yet. I still love coming there every single day. I love the team. I love seeing the people walk out being scared. Will I be able to retire off of this? No, not even close. However, we make a difference in our local communities. That feels good. If you watched the piece last night on the little girl, I mean, she's amazing. And if you get a chance to look at that video, take a look at our Facebook page. But so there's a lot that goes into this. But yes, you are dead on. It's a labor of love. You know.
Of course. And I think people may even take for granted too, right? Like I'm sure just to run an attraction, and I don't need to know numbers, but the insurance alone needed to kind of take out on these things must be absurd.
It is. I'll say that it is, because there is risk involved with it. So yes, the insurance is quite an expense.
So I have two more questions for you. And I'll just ask them. What is your favorite memory from Everhaunt?
That's a tough question. I mean, there are so many good memories that we have. I mean, seeing my daughter ride around on Unicorn at our Kids Day events was pretty cool. Like, I mean, just seeing her smile and because we did unicorn rides with our petting zoo, seeing the kids. A lot of it does go back to the kids. However, you know, I also think that there were times at the end of the season in 19 and 21 where it's the last day and you get the whole group of the team together, and just the awards and stuff that we do is always a wonderful night. There's a lot of really good things, a lot of really good memories that we've created from this, and a lot more to come, I'm sure. But I would have to say kids' days have been wonderful. I also have to say just how our team has come together has also been pretty wonderful.
That's great. Okay, final question. What is in the future? What's the vision for the future for Everhaunt?
You know, there's so many, there's so many ideas that are in our brains. Before we opened, I had a booklet, and I still have that booklet of ideas that we have to do. Like, for example, the chambers that we created this year in our asylum, which is a 2-minute, you know, CGI experience, testing experience gone wrong. And that was in my booklet 5 years ago. And we just put that together this year. So I think that there's a lot more to come. We just want to keep improving each and every day, you know. And it's also about the experience, because at the end of the day, I said it earlier, we're not a conga line haunt. We don't put through millions of people. So there is waiting. So we're trying to, you know, make that better. This year we added scare buttons where you're in line, you can watch people walking through the haunt and push the button and scare them. So you're interacting that way. I would just say the future, as always, we're going to be innovative. We're going to be creative. There are a lot more ideas in the book.
I know I asked that was the last question, but I just sort of thought of two more as you were asking. Who is your number one horror sort of Halloween icon?
You know, it's funny. We just did a Gusto. The Gusto just interviewed me last week, and I said, what is your favorite horror films? And I gave him like The Orphanage and like Vacancy. It was another horror film I liked. And also I did like the new Amityville Horror, actually. And maybe it was because of how I was watching it. It was like in the middle of the night and I was alone. And so maybe that's why. But anyways, my friend Ari, he's the original Jason. If he hears this, he's going to give me heck about it. But well, I grew up on Nightmare on Elm Street. I really, really did, you know, and Tales from the Crypt and those type of things growing up. So those are the things that are always there for me. There's a good chance that next year we're going to have Alice from Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5. We were supposed to have her this year, but then it ended up falling through. She ended up going to film or something like that, and we couldn't get her. But we're going to get her at some point, just because I'm such a big fan growing up. But yeah, I was always a Nightmare on Elm Street guy. And again, Ari will be upset with me for saying that. So don't share this interview to him, please.
I won't. Where can people find more information about Everhaunt?
www.everhaunt.com. I mean, obviously we have all the social media outlets. We have Facebook is Everhaunt USA on Facebook. Instagram is Everhaunt USA, TikTok. Oh, we got all of them, Snapchat. Our Facebook is probably our most active, though. We're putting probably 4 to 5 posts a day on it.
Kevin, thank you so much for your time. It was great to talk to you today, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, as a special treat, I'm able to talk to one of the actors from Everhaunt. Mo, would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, I'm Mo. I've been with Everhaunt since they opened, and I've been haunting since I was 16 years old. So I have 16 years of haunt experience under my belt. I've been acting since I was a teenager.
Wow. How did you first get involved sort of working at haunts?
So I kind of fell into it. I used to work at, the first haunted house I ever worked at was Final Fear. It was the old Scare at the Fair. So at the fairgrounds at the McKinley Mall. So a friend of mine was working there and I was always obsessed with Halloween as a kid. Like growing up, I loved Halloween. It was my favorite holiday. It still is. And my friend who was a couple years older than me was like, oh, we should go to the haunted house. So I went to the haunted house, ended up talking to the owner of that haunted house and got a job the next day.
What is your specialty at the haunted house? What kind of characters do you play?
I have been haunting for so long that I can kind of be wherever Kevin needs me to be in the houses. So typically I'm in the Delaware Creek Estates and I'll kind of wander around there. It's a very traditional haunted house, very jump scare. But on Friday last week, I was in the asylum and got to play crazy for a little bit.
Of all the years of your experience, what's your most favorite character that you've ever played?
Bloody Mary has been my favorite. It's a character that kind of like I drew on from when I was a kid and like playing the Bloody Mary game in the mirror. Not to give too much away, but we do have a mirror at Everhaunt and it's my favorite spot in both of the houses. It's such a good scare, but yeah, Bloody Mary is my favorite. And funny story, that's the character that's on the marketing at Everhaunt. You can buy a t-shirt with my face in Bloody Mary's costume.
That's amazing and horrifying. And if I go through, you can tell me every single thing that would happen and I would still be shocked coming around the corner. I don't know that there's a way to spoil the scares of Everhaunt. Kevin mentioned that you have been working with Everhaunt since its opening and sort of said that you have kind of trained other actors to work at a haunt. What makes a good actor at a haunt and how do you train them?
So whenever someone is new at the haunt, I kind of give them some creative ideas. Like you don't have to take what I say because I'm not the end all be all. Like once you get into it and you get in the flow of like being in your spot and knowing what your character is, then you can kind of get creative and do your own thing. So I'll give like a lot of feedback of like what I would personally say in this room, but a lot of it comes down to like research. So when I worked in the asylum the week or the day before, I had listened to a podcast about Dr. Death and I had listened to, about like asylums from like old times when they were like really abusive. But and that's kind of what put me in the headspace of, okay, today I'm in the asylum. I have to be crazy and I'm going to act crazy like that. So I always tell people just do some research. Think of like what scared you as a kid, what scared you as an adult. Like think of the movies that scared you the most and then come up with something like that. We have a couple new people that are really, they're shining now and I'm really proud of them. They're doing really, really great. So it's just start with what you know. We have a couple phrases that we absolutely never say at the haunt and it's part of our training and onboarding process with Kevin, but get out is one of them. We don't say get out because people have just paid to come in. So, but yeah, as long as they're avoiding those phrases and just having fun, I guess that's all that really matters.
How do you prepare for a night at the haunt right now? That's the most probably actory question ever, but actors are high endurance athletes. And I would imagine, right, working outside in the cold and using your voice at very loud volumes takes its toll on the body. What do you have to do to sort of get through a season of haunting?
There are a couple tips and tricks. So a lot of the actors in the houses, I will say like me personally, I just kind of go for it. I don't really do much to like take care of my voice or like do aftercare or anything like that. But a lot of the actors will keep like a jar of honey and like add it to water while they're in the house. Cough drops are a consistent thing, especially for new people. Walk through and like hand them out throughout the night and be like, in between, like take a couple sucks on this cough drop and lots of water.
What is your favorite memory of Everhaunt?
When Kevin first hired me, the room that I'm typically in, there's a fireplace on the floor. And he was like, oh yeah, we're going to have something playing up here. And I was like, well, I'm going to crawl out of that. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm crawling out of the fireplace. He was like, that wasn't an actor spot. And I was like, it is now. Because nothing is more terrifying than going into a haunted house and looking down and then seeing someone popping up at you. But I will say I really enjoy working at Everhaunt because I've worked at a bunch like since I was a teenager. And honestly, the community that Kevin has built and like the freedom he allows people to like do stuff like that, like create their own spaces in the houses is really unique and like really wonderful.
Why do you think people like being scared?
it's an adrenaline thing. People are adrenaline junkies. So even if it's not your thing, and that's okay. Like, there's other things that you do that will like get your blood going. Personally, I like being scared. I think it's fun, just like to get your heart beating a little faster. And I think that's what people do it for. That's why people go to the haunted house, is for the thrill of it all.
Why do people need to go to EverHaunt this year?
I think that EverHaunt is just different from everything else that's out there. It's not a machine. It's not plugging you through from start to finish. At the very beginning of the night, if you're standing out in the lines, we're running outside and like screaming at you and giving you the taste before you go in. And like, everyone is so great there. We had to escort a couple people out last weekend because they were just sobbing and breaking down. And like, the people in the haunt industry, I've worked with some people that will just continue to do their thing and like continue to scare and scare and scare until these people are like a mess. Whereas like, we can identify that as like, we don't want to do that. We don't want to traumatize people. So we'll stay in character and escort you out so that you don't feel so like traumatized.
That's awesome. I've never heard that before, right? I would think too that other places or maybe other inexperienced people might think, oh yeah, this is great, let's keep going. But that's really kind of amazing and speaks to the training at EverHaunt that y'all can recognize that and be like, oh, okay, we're done for the night.
Right, right. I mean, even I have a story like that. When I was 7 years old, my dad took me to a haunted house and I was sobbing and they wouldn't get my dad out. Me and my sister were like on the floor.
Yeah, I had a similar thing in a haunted house. And so now I feel like the most valiant person alive when I go in one, because when I was little, like someone got in my face and I got freaked out and wouldn't go in them for years. So now I do, but I'm so jumpy going in them. People I think like to go with me because I feel like it's sort of an emotional pincushion walking through, like, ah, I just scream around every corner. So
as long as you're enjoying it and you're not like so scared that you're upset, like,
no.
There's a fine line there.
No. And I think that it seems like EverHaunt really takes care of the people that come through, both the people that work there and the people that are visiting the attraction. It speaks so highly of EverHaunt that there's even thinking around the words get out and how they're not used. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Well, Mo, I just want to ask before we go, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about EverHaunt or anything that you'd like to share?
No, come see me. I'm excited. I really enjoy Halloween season. It's my favorite, like I said. And honestly, I don't foresee a future where I'm not haunting.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Mo. It was awesome to speak to you. And I can't wait to see you this season at EverHaunt.
Yeah. Can't wait to see you there.
Well, that's our show for today. It was fantastic to speak to Kevin and Mo about their work at EverHaunt Haunted House. There's a definite sense of community at EverHaunt, and there are so many offerings that there is something for everyone. All of the information about the attraction, including their horror icon days and fall family festival days, are available on their website, everhaunt.com. Happy Halloween from Buffalo Rising, and we will see you next month. Today's show is produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmaker engineered the episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local events guides posted monthly on buffalorising.com. We'll be back soon with more episodes where we will explore our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studio.